I'm thinking that we're on 14, is that right? I haven't talked about 14 yet. And I don't want to spend too much time on slide 14 because it's really more of a Bio 182 topic. But I talked a little bit about classification before, which we've been doing for thousands of years. But modern classification of organisms is not based on what they look like to humans, which is kind of an arbitrary thing. Modern classification is based on shared ancestry. And that scheme of classification is called phylogeny. And it represents those ancestral relationships with tree-like structures, as you see here. These are called phylogenetic trees. Just like a family tree for humans, only this is for any organisms. And so here we see a bunch of finches and their ancestral relationship with each other. But this tree, even though it looks like a whole tree, is really just a tiny tip and a very tiny fraction of the one huge phylogenetic tree that includes all organisms. So all organisms are related, despite the huge diversity of life, if you go back far enough, and the trunk of that overall tree, which is the ancestor to everyone, would be that first successful lineage of cells that we'll talk more about when I talk about how the first cells came into existence. That brings us to 15, the last slide of this catch-all chapter. And let me say before I talk about this specific slide as an introduction that I'll give you another dichotomy. I've already given you a couple. There's a dichotomy with respect to belief. Two major belief systems that are quite different, fundamentally different, in a sense almost opposite. And those belief systems are faith and science. And faith is belief for whatever reason you want. Faith is belief in something simply because you want to believe in it. There doesn't have to be any evidence. Faith is belief in something despite evidence, despite a lack of evidence. And in fact, it can sometimes be despite evidence to the contrary. But you're just making the decision to believe. It's not based on logic, rationality, or evidence. It's simply that you want to believe it. That's entirely different from science. Science is belief that has to be based on evidence. Otherwise, you're not allowed to believe it if you're acting scientifically. And if, as more evidence gets accumulated, it turns out that what you believed before is actually wrong based on the evidence, then a person acting scientifically has to give up that belief, not allowed to believe it anymore. So what we actually call facts are really things that evidence shows us to be true over and over. And that changes. The facts change as we learn. You know, when you come down to it, we really don't have absolute proof of anything that we call a fact. But the things that stand up to repeated testing are the things that we eventually call facts. Things like gravity and evolution stand up to testing. This is another fundamental difference between faith and science. Since faith is not based on evidence and science is, faith is not testable. Science needs to be testable. That's the basis of the belief. And it's where the evidence comes in. So every once in a while we realize Well, what we've been saying is true is actually wrong. You have to change the facts. An example of that in science would be that almost 100 years ago we realized that Newtonian mechanics, system of equations for how things move around in space, is actually wrong. And it's been replaced with quantum mechanics, the new truth. And really, it doesn't actually make much of a difference if you're talking macroscopic things, like, you know, big things like planets moving around. But when you get down to the real fine detail, it's actually Newtonian mechanics is not true. We actually continue to teach it, even though it isn't true. And a good physics instructor should say, what I'm teaching you is actually wrong. But we still teach Newtonian mechanics to beginning physics students because it's easier to teach than quantum mechanics. And in the macroscopic world, Newtonian mechanics is close enough. It will give you a good enough answer, but it's actually not the truth. And that's how science works. Truths are things that can be replaced with new truths as evidence dictates. And this testing that I'm talking about is what the scientific method is all about, which is what this slide is illustrating. And it starts with observation. I mean, we humans have been observing things for as long as there have been humans. We just notice things about the world. That's all observation is. And since we are curious animals, when we notice things, when we make observations, we wonder why things are the way they are. So observations just naturally lead to questions in the process. And of course, when a question arises, humans naturally want that to be answered. So questions lead to possible answers. And these next two things in the process shown here are often confused by students. They get the two mixed up, hypothesis and prediction. Hypotheses are explanations. Any given hypothesis, which does not have to at all be true, but any hypothesis is an explanation for why something is the way it is. And even though it doesn't have to be true at all, a hypothesis is stated in such a way that you pretend that it is true. You're saying, this is the way it is because. And linguistically, because is a key word to show you that that's a hypothesis you're looking at. All right? Predictions use future tense words, as you would expect for prediction. So will, for instance, or if, those are if-then statements. Those are predictions, not hypotheses. And predictions follow logically from hypotheses. In other words, a hypothesis is some explanation. You have no idea whether it's right or not, but you declare it. It's a declarative sentence. You declare it in such a way as though you're saying it's true. A prediction follows logically from that because a prediction tells you what would happen if that hypothesis actually is true. All right, so let's just use this very simple example to illustrate that. The observation is that the flashlight doesn't work. And so she's wondering why. That's the question. And there's any number of explanations for why it's not working. It's not that there's exactly two hypotheses possible. There's just two shown here. But one hypothesis says the flashlight doesn't work because the battery's dead. It's pretending that that's true, right? The other is that it doesn't work because the bulb is burnt out. Well, each one of those independently leads logically to a prediction, right? If it's true that the battery's dead, hypothesis one is true, then you'd expect or predict that replacing the battery would fix the problem. Similarly for the burned out bulb. All right. So predictions come from hypotheses, but predictions actually set up logically the test of the prediction, and the test of a prediction is what we call a scientific experiment. An experiment in science is a way to test whether or not a prediction will come true in order to understand whether or not the hypothesis that corresponds to that prediction has any merit. Okay? Now, if we went ahead with this experiment, the one that corresponds to hypothesis one, in other words, if the experiment here would be that we replace the battery, it might be that the light will light or maybe not. Now, if it doesn't light, what do we know from that result?
If you change the battery.
Yeah, if you change the battery, it doesn't matter at all. Whatever the test is, in science in general, if the prediction does not come true in the experiment, what does that tell us? Right. In other words, it's possible to disprove a hypothesis. But if the prediction does come true, like if the light goes on, that does not tell us that the hypothesis is true. It tells us only that the hypothesis could be true. So you can't prove hypotheses. You can disprove them, but you can't prove them. You can back them up, or you can give them some merit. But, for instance, in this example, it might be that you think that replacing the bulb helped, but you might have taken out a perfectly good bulb, replaced it with another perfectly good bulb, but in the process jiggled the wires in such a way that solved the problem. Okay? And that's why you can't trust that positive result as being proof that your hypothesis was true. But this is the important point about science. You don't ever test things one time and then believe it. That's what I was talking about, facts. Things that we eventually call facts are things that stand repeated testing by a lot of people all over the world, and they never are disproven. You know, you can drop something as many times as you want, and I am willing to bet that it's always going to go downward. It's not going to fall upward. It's been tested a lot of times. That's a fact. That's gravity. It's a fact. Evolution, a fact. Plenty of testing that has been done on those kinds of things. So any questions before I switch over the recording?
What does the bottom one say?
On the bottom left it says test falsifies the hypothesis. That's what I was saying about it. If it doesn't come true, then that does say your hypothesis is wrong, at least partially. You might have to just modify the hypothesis in such a way so that you can test it another way. It might be totally wrong, though, too. If it comes true, though, on the right, that does not prove that the corresponding hypothesis is true. Only that it might be true. Anything else? Go ahead.
Did you say to always start with two separate hypotheses?
Well, usually there are two, because you could state, you know, you can test for a hypothesis being true or it being false. So, but there can be all kinds of hypotheses that are totally different as well. This is just a really simple illustration. But in real experimentation, you're usually testing things that are a lot less basic than this. There's no limit, though, to the number of competing hypotheses.
So if it's more
Yeah, that's an important part of experimentation. And I'll talk about this in lab today, is that you want to set things up so that really what you are testing is as simple as possible. It might only be part of a big grand thing you're thinking about. You don't want to test everything all at once, though. You want to break it down into manageable parts so that you can use this, the scientific method, to say, oh, well, this did not come true, and I didn't make any mistakes in the setup, so this part must not be right. All right, I think that's the end of that chapter.